This is Joaquin Flores, geopolitical analyst, looking here at the conflict in Ukraine. It is for Tuesday, March 8th. It's the morning here in Eastern Europe. Kiev time would be about 9:40 a.m. As of the end of March 7th, we have some developments. When we last spoke, we talked about the coming operation to be completed for Mariupol, that is in the south by south east of the country, and it's on the Azov Sea, which is like a little tiny sea, so, you know, surrounded by the Crimean Peninsula on one side, and it feeds into the Black Sea. So this was an important access that Ukraine had, but it was really a liability considering that it was they had no naval dominance to speak of at all. They still don't. Ukraine doesn't have a navy. It's not suitable to be a naval power. In fact, it's a liability to have a country on the Black Sea without the ability to do anything. It leaves itself open to other powers and so forth, and must rely on the balance of powers, but we won't digress. At any rate, you can see from our map above the change, where Mariupol is now entirely under Russian control. The overall change from the 3rd, which is 4 days, you have not seen a change in the zone of conflict, but you have seen the line of contact or the line of conflict move. So the zone of conflict or the war zone has not changed, but the line in those areas has changed. So another big development has been further encircling of Kiev. All of around Kiev is a war zone, and the encirclement around Kiev has grown. The Russian forces come in through Belarus, and you can see what's been added to these lines are lines of movement with these sort of green lines, these bright kind of teal or like seafoam green lines that you can see from Belogorod, Rostov, and Homel. And these are the only real changes. Primarily, there's been continuation of information war. There's been the obligatory meetings in Belarus between the conflicting parties, and those produce very little. There's mostly an information war and a diplomatic conflict over the status of the humanitarian issue. That's where things have moved, which means that that Kiev, or rather those globalist cabal who control Kiev, will not allow a rational government to surrender. One of the members of the Ukrainian negotiating team, probably more rational, who was an economics expert minister, was assassinated by his own people, by his own government, by paramilitary forces or assassins, if you will, probably the SBU. And because of this, it sent a chill. It was a message sent by the cabal that no one on the Ukrainian negotiating side is allowed to talk sense, is allowed to make peace. So then the total destruction of the Ukrainian state is on the agenda. The Russian president on their side, that would be Putin, he has floated this now for a few days, that maybe Ukraine doesn't exist as a state. Now, practically, we know that there are communication issues and the chain of command We can go back to even the end of February, where even then we already had the very well-educated and informed U.S. Colonel McGregor on numerous American TV shows explaining that this conflict was already over, in the sense from a military perspective, it was over really as it began. And what we're seeing now is a very surgical and prolonged concern, which I support personally, but just explaining it objectively, a very prolonged concern for human life. And bear in mind that this situation, this conflict, this incursion, this invasion, even if you will, is not meant to destroy Ukrainian infrastructure or Ukrainian lives. This is a neighboring people. This is a people that many Russians and the official view, the Russian state views as a brother people, and that they see this as a should be a part of a cooperative, economic cooperative zone and a cultural cooperative zone. They share so much more in common than not. This is like Dr. Seuss's Butter Battle book. So it's a historical shame that forces of evil came in with a type of version of Nazi critical race theory to warp the minds of young Ukrainian people who are barely now of fighting age. And you can see the difference. The much older people in Ukraine that are on the histrionic acid trip of Russophobia, you can always see that they're highly demented, borderline personality disorder type people. But you can see that the younger people, that it's a more normal view, because in their generation, starting with Kuchma and the reforms to the educational system in a very big way after the 2004 Orange Revolution, began to warp the minds of the young. And you can see that was exactly, well, about 18 years ago, which makes them fighting age today. So that's the big problem. But that shows that it would take another 10 or 15 years to unwind this neo-Nazi critical race theory, this absurdly racist view that Ukrainians and Russians are fundamentally different people. This goes back to Kuchma's book, Ukrainians Are Not Russians, or Ukraine Is Not Russia. These are the consequences. So for Americans like myself, like many of you, can look and see, like, this is where this critical race theory goes, and it must be stopped because it leads to civil wars, and so do stolen elections, like what happened in Ukraine. And we must stop both of these kinds of things from happening to our country too. All right, God bless. Have a great day. I know I will. This is Joaquin Flores again, and I'm out.